Jesus' name. Let's stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads. We open the service. Precious, precious Lord Jesus, Father, again, here we are. Lord, you felt the call in our hearts. Lord, that little gene of God crying out, Father, for revelation, for more word, Lord. We're so thankful that you placed that call in our hearts. Lord, and the desire to fulfill your word, if we said, Lord, you admonished us to gather together, never forsaken. Where two or three are gathered, there you'll be. Oh, God, may we take advantage of every moment that you give us. Lord, and bless everyone that's gathered. Father, may you just walk amongst us. As you look on our hearts, Father, you know where we stand, what we need strengthening, encouraging, whatever it is, Lord. We're just here, Father, waiting for you to serve us and take care of that.
Yes.
Lord, we so love you. Have your way now, we ask in the precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'd like to start, if you would, in our capstone books, page 91. Just a little while. You don't have to wait much longer. Amen. You can feel it. Hallelujah.
Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage shall end. Oh, soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over, and all the beauty's there to share. Hallelujah. And just a little while to stay. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this world so full of need. Then press them to our bosom. Oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while, oh, think about it. Oh, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little while, saints.
Amen.
Praise his name. Amen. Page 323 in our Holy Bleed books. Hallelujah.
It was told that he would come and the race he would run, it would end on an old rugged cross. But when they laid him in a tomb, the power of the Lord came in the room. Now he reigns forevermore. Oh, hallelujah to by his Spirit we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Church, he's coming back someday to take us home with him to stay.
When sorrow Blessed hope.
love has no limit.
His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no bounds. Glories known unto man. Pour out of his infinite riches in Jesus. He giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. Oh, his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man.
Have something on your heart you'd like to take before him. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Precious, precious Lord. Father, we sing these songs, Father of Zion. Lord, how we love you and look forward to that day that you do come and take us home. Whether we go by the grave, Father, that's okay. If that's what you see for us. But Lord, we do, Father, look to you to maybe come while we're still alive, Father. Take us home in a split second, Father, in a twinkling of an eye. Change and go home to be with you, Father, and then gather around me, Lord. Maybe we'll spend the first 10,000 years just worshiping you. Lord, telling you how much we love you. For truly we do, Lord. There's no way to express it. May we truly need a new language, Father, to tell you, Lord, how much we love you. Pray, Lord, that you would just touch every heart, Lord, and every need. Lord, just meet them abundantly is our prayer. Yes. Father, the remainder of the service, as your word comes forth, may our hearts be open. And again, Father, may you reveal it to us. Yes. Lord, that it may become life in our bodies, yes. Father, glorifying you. We ask all this and we thank you for it. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his holy name. Let's just go ahead and sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Yes.
Only believe.
Precious Lord, we have come once more together around your precious word. And Lord, as we renew our minds to these things that you've left for us, Lord, just praying that it'll stir our hearts and, Lord, keep us pressing on and to keep us enthused, Lord, with what you're doing for us in this hour, Lord, and by grace to see that you've imparted unto us wisdom, Lord, in light of thy precious word. And Father, as you, David said, your word is a light unto our path. And, oh, Lord, we're just so thankful in this hour in which we live that you're still here with us, Father, showing and leading and guiding along the way. Yes. And we just ask your blessings upon your word now. Bless our hearts to the hearing and receiving. And may you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn over to the book of Zechariah and just read a very familiar scripture the prophet read many, many times. And just going to, last Thursday evening, we were kind of talking about the light and the light of life and the light of Jesus Christ shining forth through us.
Yes.
But let's think of just a little bit of this light, his light shining in this final age, just a little bit as we read and renew our minds to some things. But here in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, and we'll read that 6th and 7th verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. So wonderful to know as we look around the age in which we're living and see it's dark. It's the world itself is in total chaos. We see it more and more, the darkness that's throughout the land, but also we see a spiritual darkness that's just encompassed the people more and more. And how great it is and how precious it is for the Word of God to truly be enlightening to a people, to an individual, you know, to me, to you as individuals. God's Word is brightening our path, showing us the way. And we're looking for a day that's to come real soon. And as you think about just as it was in the days of Noah, and the scripture says that men's thoughts were continually evil.
Yes.
And how you just see it, even though maybe you see things on the news and people want to talk about how they're trying to take America back to God, but yet their lives are so far from what God wanted even. And then we realize why it is the way that it is. But yet, by God's grace, it's the closing of time. And what a blessed people we are to truly have had our understandings open to realize that and to see the things that we've seen. And as we was thinking about, we were speaking about the light and stuff, I just want to renew our minds to one quote I read last Thursday night, but let's add this one to it. This is in God's chosen place of worship. And I don't know if any of you have noticed it, but this week, as the moon has been so big and bright, and it just seems like even in the mornings, from 7 to about 9, that moon is still visible up there, even though the sun's coming up over here. As it's going down, you still see both, a great reflection.
Amen.
And the prophet, I was just thinking about it, and you look at what our reflection of Jesus Christ in this time and place that we are. Paragraph 34, Brother Branham said, just like the moon is a shadow of the sun, it serves in the absence of the sun, just like the church is to serve in the absence of the S-O-N of God.
Yes.
In the absence of the sun, the lesser light, the church, the believers serve God and give light in the absence of the sun. And when the sun rises, you don't see the moon no more because it's gone down. It doesn't need light anymore because it only gets light secondarily off of the sun. Now, like husband and wife, the sun and moon is church and Christ. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And one day, real soon, we're going to blend into that true sun shining forth. Amen.
Amen.
But as we had read this, just to think about this, this was in Shalom. This was paragraph 96, preached January 1964. Brother Branham was saying, God's light has come. The word light is vindicated again so that you can see the manifestations of the promise of God for this day. Search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. They testify of the day that we're living in. And what is the light of the day? What did the Bible promise for this day? See what hour it is. No wonder Jesus rebuked them for not believing John. He was the light because the prophet said he would come, and there he was. The manifested light, they didn't see it. They didn't understand it, and they thought he was the Messiah. They thought something else, and thus another. They failed to see it. Jesus come on, and two lights can't shine at the same time.
Amen.
There can't be a church light and God's light shine at the same time. It's got to be God's light putting out the church light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's taking place today. God is separating churchism from his light of the promised word of this hour that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth, friend. You might not want to believe it, But you just wait and find out if it's not so. Don't wait. You better get in right now while there's a chance to get in. And how we've seen, we can look at all the denominations. Many used to say, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm this, I'm that, all the things. But it doesn't matter. There can't be a church light. It's got to be the light of Jesus Christ made manifest in the life and the heart of a little bride. And there is a light of the hour today, and that's Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, his word that's promised for this day. And by God's grace, our understandings has been opened to that word that he left for us today. And quite a few things that I'm going to read are out of the church age book. But as we see the hour in which we end, and God sent a prophet and sent forth a message to bring us out of the chaos, the confusion, the which way is this and why is that and how is this. God sent a prophet and he brought forth and wrapped it all up and brought the loose ends together, yeah, tied it back together. He took each loaf of the bread and put it back in the loaf so you have a whole loaf again. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, we're standing here recipients of that. But as Paul, as we kind of shift off and now from the light into this next few things, just to really comprehend how carefully each one of us should guard what God has imparted to us. And to watch and how thankful we should be when, you know, sometimes you hear something, maybe a minister brings something or you hear somebody present something. And it's just something down on the inside that checks your heart. You're like, I just don't know. And then you go back to searching the scriptures, for in them you find out if you have eternal life.
Yes.
And you go back and you begin to search the scriptures or the prophet's message, and then the enlightenment of it comes, how it thrills your heart to be able to see, praise God, I know I'm standing on that.
Amen.
And it brings that assurance.
Yes.
And it's not a guessing, but it's what God will reveal to that little elect to truly hold them steadfast in this age. Just as Paul, you know, as he had the revelation, he said he could stand there and say, I have not failed to declare unto you the full counsel of God. He knew without a doubt what he had been revealed to him was going to hold through the test of time. But here, this is the complaint of God, and you've read it many times, but it's in the Ephesian church age. But I just want to renew our minds to this. As he began to speak, he said, nevertheless, Revelations 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. To understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone, but this message is into the entire age, which lasted about 120 years. Mm-hmm. And its message then is also to the generations in that span, is to all the generations in that span. And history keeps repeating itself. Mm-hmm. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation only to see the fires fading in the next. In the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of the original flame. Then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. It is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there is any truth to apostolic succession. It isn't in the Word. You start out with truly born-again believers. And when the next generation comes along, they're no longer just plain Christians, but they have taken a denominational name and are now Baptist, Methodist, etc. And that is exactly what they are, too. They're not Christians. You have to be born of the will of God and not the will of man to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. And I don't say that some of them aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that. But the original fire has died down. And they're not the same anymore. And I want you to think about this just a little bit.
Yes.
The fervent desire to please God.
Yes.
There's a fervent desire to please the church and to please a lot of pastors.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the fervent desire to please God?
Yes.
And to see his will made manifest in their life.
Right.
The passion to know his word. Mm-hmm. And the cry for reaching out in the spirit. All begins to fade, and instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what was happening back there to the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal, and the abandonment to God was dying out, and the people weren't too careful about what God thought of them, as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like other nations. And when they did that, they rejected God.
Yes.
But they did it anyway. And that is the history of the church.
Mm-hmm.
When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress, their attitudes, their behavior, and they get lax. And that is what Ephesus means, relaxed and drifting. Yes. And how, as we read that, we can truly take a warning. As you know, many things in the church age book was a warning, showing forth the time and the place in which we live, and how truly we as individuals must guard carefully with God's word to make sure that I'm not caught up in a drifting, lax suggestion. You know, there's many, many different messages going throughout the land. There's many different churches that have forms and fashions and go this way and go that way. But at the end of the day, God's word is laying before us. And he sent a prophet to show that little bride where to stand. Amen. And how we want to make sure that each one of us as individuals, we stay centered in that. And not get our eyes off on trying to be like someone else or trying to fit in or conform to this world, but to stay truly where God has called us to this called out place. That our love would not die down and our passion wouldn't be just to be, I'm a churchgoer, I'm following a message, but would have that fervent desire to know that my life is pleasing to Jesus Christ in everything I do. And oh my, you know, if you just go back and read the things the prophet said, how beautifully the Holy Spirit placed those things out into the Word. And you know, I don't think I printed it and brought it with me. I was going to, I don't think I put that out here. But it's where Brother Branham, I believe it was in, it was right in the end of 65, but he was talking about, as he was drawing the age on the blackboard by the vision, and how, you know, he drawed it out, and he left a little bit of light at the end of this age. But he said, but he was talking about how God, when the moon happened, it was a total blackout, and how dark this age would be, and how dismal, and we see it's the most deceptive age. And you can see, you know, you can see the Holy Spirit even in denomination and organizations. They still have a form of the Holy Spirit watering them as they join themselves together, those that are sincere in what they're doing. And you see some of the messages coming forth from them older ministers that have been around to see the change in their denominations, the change in their organizations, and how their messages, don't be deceived, don't fall for these things. But that's the Spirit speaking expressively that in latter times these things were going to happen. It's written in the Scriptures. And so we see this happening. This great age of deception is not just amongst the bride. We know it's going to be there. We see it. But it's happening throughout the land. Satan is doing all he can. Everything that's out there, is there's hardly no truth in it anymore. You can't find it. And how it's truly, for this little bride, we've had this stored up food. And you know, you think about Noah as he was preparing that ark, how much he just kept storing up. Maybe the grain they took in, maybe the food they took in for the animals. I don't know for sure what all they had, but you know, 120 years, I'm sure they was well prepared as they was getting in there. And they didn't get lax, they kept on. It was moving every day, following the word, following the plan. We've got to get this ready. The rain is a-coming. And may that truly be our desire and our press. I don't know if the Lord's going to come in the morning. I don't know if he's going to come 10 years from now. But I know he's coming, and he said to be ready. He sent a prophet to tell us to live close, godly lives and to keep our eyes upon that word. Amen. And oh, what a striking in our hearts that ought to be, to not let the things that are happening around us. We see all kinds of things taking place. As I said, it's easy for all the diversions and all the politics of this world to catch our attention and to try to drag us down into the things of this world. But remember, we're not of this world. We are but pilgrims and strangers passing through. And by God's grace, I want my focus on my heavenly home and where I'm headed. But now in the message, as we, let me see, before we go over here, let's... let's turn over to Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. We'll catch this one, 1 Thessalonians 5. speaking here, and probably about the let's just start about the 14th verse just to catch what he was saying. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil, and unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Boy, that's a tough one sometimes. Give thanks in all things. Yeah. You know, sometimes life isn't maybe what we seem to say fair. But no matter what your circumstance, no matter where you're at, make sure to give thanks in all things.
Yes.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes.
Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Mm-hmm. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your God's whole spirit and soul and body may be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And you're reading through that, but that 21st verse, as Paul was saying, prove all things and hold fast that which that is was good. And in Hebrews, how many times like Hebrews 10 and 23, Hebrews 4, 14, how many times Paul kept that? Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, and to keep watch over what you've been given.
Yes.
And in the Brother Branham improving of his word, he read that scripture in 1 Thessalonians. And he says, paragraph 60, and this was preached August 1664, he says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. When anything is proven, it will either be proven right or wrong. And when there's anything in question, it should be proven until you find out what is right. And then when you find out what is right, it said, hold fast. In other words, grip it. Don't turn it loose. Hold it fast. In other words, hold it tight so that it will not slip. Hold fast to that which is good, and after it's been proven right, and anything that's proven not right, then turn it loose as quick as you can and get away from it. Don't ever hold on to the wrong thing. He said it is possible that staunch Christians, fine people, hold to the wrong thing, thinking it is right. But then these things should be proven, whether they're right or wrong. And it's the duty of all of us, as we're expecting to go to heaven when Jesus comes. And it's the minister's duty, when any question is brought up, that he solves this out and then proves it before the people, that they might understand, because no one wants to be found wrong, holding to the wrong thing. So we have a scripture. And Jesus said all scriptures must be fulfilled, that we should prove all things, and then said hold fast, hold tight, get a death grip on it, and don't turn it loose. Hold fast to that which is good. And how, you know, as you see the Apostle Paul, like I said, there's many scriptures where he was saying the same thing, but that God, through that prophet of this hour, was still telling us, hold it tight, guard what God has given you, watch over it, and cherish it. And oh my, how is God's precious word is laying before us, how we should truly hold it with all that's in us, to make sure that we know this is what's sustaining us. This is the absolute in which I'm tied. And oh my, it must, everything in my life, every word I believe has to run back through that precious word.
Yes.
Amen. This is in the Sardis and Church Age. I probably didn't say that right, but as he began here about, he was just catching a little bit here, Revelation 3 and 3, he says, remember there thou how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And the Brother Branham says, I want to read another translation, and you can find it in the Church Age book of this verse, but he says, be remembering, therefore, in what you have received the truth as a permanent deposit, what way you heard it, and be safeguarding it, and have a change of mind at once. It is very evident from this verse that God had given them truth as a permanent deposit. It was received and is irrevocably theirs. It now remains to be seen what they will do with it, whether they will regard it or not, and that is true. They had been given the basic truth of the whole gospel. The just shall live by faith. Salvation is of the Lord. They had heard the truth of the Bible, which had cast down doctrines of Rome and set not all papal authority. And they knew the truth that the church does not save. And they understood the Lord's Supper. And they had light on water baptism. And they put out the images, truth. Why, there never was any age with any more men with so much light to shed. They had enough illumination to completely overhaul the old system or to start out fresh and let God lead them, line upon line, precept upon precept. They received the truth, they wanted it and heard it, but the question was, how did they hear it? Did they hear it to build upon, or was it the same attitude that many Greeks had, some to discuss and theorize over? Evidently, the rich word of truth was being heard in an epidemic manner, rather than practical outworking, for God was demanding a change of mind concerning it. If this is the word of God, which indeed it is, then it must be obeyed. Failure to obey would bring judgment. When the guards of the sacred temple were found sleeping, they were beaten and their garments burned. What shall the Lord do to those in this age who have relaxed their guard? I will come on thee as a thief. Ancient Sardis was constantly harassed by bandits that swooped down from the hills and pillaged the people. Thus they knew only too well what the Spirit was saying, and that the coming of the Lord is as a thief. Vigilance and preparation alone will suffice to be ready for his coming. And now we know that this is the message for the false vine, for the coming of the Lord will be as it was in the days of Noah. The eight saved were well aware of the impending flood. And being aware, they were prepared and saved. But the world of the ungodly was swept away, though they daily were in contact with the righteous and heard the truth. They turned it aside until it was too late. The complete carnal people in that ancient period type out today the nominal Christians whose lives are full of earthly things and take pleasure in them to such an extent that they have no desire for the spiritual and are not at all aware of nor ready for his appearing. Yeah. And oh my, may we truly be a people, as the scripture said, there would be a little bride would be looking for, loving and longing his appearing. Yeah. Their attention would be solely focused to that. Their life would be dedicated to it. It would be evident that that's what they were living for. And you know, as the prophet showed us, Noah in his day is was building the boat and following and obeying the Lord. He became the light of that hour. Moses in his day, following the leading of the Lord and fulfilling the scriptures that was prophesied of him, he became the light of that day. John the Baptist became the light of his day. William Branham became the light of his day as he was foretold for the scriptures and prophesied what it would be when he came. And by God's grace, that little bride has been prophesied that she would be the light of this hour as she was, the word was being vindicated and made alive through her in this last age. And by God's grace, I pray each one of us as an individual is finding ourselves in that place. And Lord, grant unto us eyes have and a greater understanding and continue to draw us to that place that we would truly be a light burning in a dark and dismal age. In the, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. In the Philadelphian church age, Brother Branham is referenced in Revelations 3, 11 and 12. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast with that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." We don't need to comment on the thought that he is coming quickly. We know that he is, because we are in the end of the last days, aren't we? But he goes on to say, "Hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown." It is in the midst of the time of great trouble that Jesus comes. And with his coming, there is a resurrection. And many are to come forth out of the dust and rise with those who are alive, but waiting for his return. And these will be given crowns. Why? Because they are sons of God. They are kings with him. They are reigning with him. And that is what the crown signifies, reigning and ruling with the great king himself. That is the promise to all of those who suffer with him here on earth. All those who endured patiently, knowing that God, the just judge, would reward them. They who gave up all for him and committed all to him will sit down in his throne and share in his glorious kingdom. Oh, we have a word for us all at this time. It is hold fast. Persevere. Don't give up. Put on the whole armor of God and use every weapon he has given to us. Use every gift at our disposal and look ahead with joy, because we are going to be crowned by him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And may we truly be a people in this hour. Let's watch. Let's keep hold fast to what we have. Watch every hour. Watch and make sure that we're lining up with what God has given us in this age. And not let loose of it because somebody feels a little different about it over here. Someone over here thinks it can be this way. Somebody thinks it ought to be that way. God delivered it the way that it's got to be. Yes. And oh, may we hold fast to those things that he's given us. Amen.
Yes.
But let's see here. Yeah. Amen. But it was in, yeah, that's fine. But oh, may we truly be a people that's watching, looking for and loving the appearing of the Lord.
Amen.
But oh my, by his mercy and grace, he's called us to this glorious gospel. Shine the light around us that we might see. Oh, aren't you thankful?
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad what Jesus has done for me. I know many others can say the same thing.
Hallelujah.
But oh, we're truly living in a time. It's got to be real to you as a personal. A personal vindication to you, as Brother Branham said, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Oh, he will make himself known to you.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Let's all stand, if you would. We ain't singing in a long time. But I wonder if we could just try that little chorus, I Thank God for the Lighthouse. Amen. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him.
Experience on a ship, and knowing that if it wasn't for that lighthouse, the ship would crash and you'd lose your life most of the time. You know, it's and to think, you know, we can think of situations maybe in our life that maybe it's scary. You know, we experienced a time where maybe we had a great fear for a moment. Maybe something happened very dangerous in our life. But just think of that, though. People that was really faced with that. You know, and knowing they was going to wreck and maybe be tossed out into the sea, maybe be a lingering death. And it'd been a horrible thing to go through. And they would have really been thankful for that lighthouse. Especially when that lighthouse kept them from a danger that they could see would have happened without that lighthouse. You know, and maybe they just couldn't see. Maybe it was dark. And I think about that, you know, there's many dark places in this life. There's many dangerous things that happen, not only physically, but spiritually. Many spiritual dangers throughout the land. And to think how many people are crashing, wrecking, rocks of sin, unbelief, destroying their life, rocks of deception. And we ought to be so thankful that we have a lighthouse. Amen. Oh, and great is that light. Hallelujah. We appreciate God for all He's doing. I trust that the Word of God is becoming more real. Even the things you read tonight, may these things become more and more alive to us and real. Because we are nearing heaven's shore. Amen. Getting closer to the appearing of the Lord. Just think now, and I was thinking about today, you know, I thought, and actually I think I mentioned something when I went in the house, mentioned my wife, just how fast time is going. It's just most amazing, you know, to think that time could move that quickly. And just think, another week has gone by, and we're another week closer to the appearing of the Lord. How wonderful that is. Amen. And when you see the Word becoming alive in your heart, no wonder the prophet mentioned in the token, that token is your assurance. When you see that life in you, oh, what an assurance that is. When you see the things that you couldn't overcome once before, now you have that assurance because it's happening in your life. It's no wonder people are living in such fear. You know, thinking about, I can't remember the man's name, Kirk something, that got shot, killed, you probably heard. And, you know, it's living in evil times, really is. That man was just always trying to stand up for what was truth, what was right for people to do. And, of course, Satan never liked that, you know. So, of course, Satan succeeded in destroying. But always remember, Satan desires to have you too. He sure does. If you're anywhere close to giving God your life, Satan desires to have you. It's no wonder even children in schools are fearing a shooter coming in. It's just, and it'll happen. It'll continue to happen. And the only hope those young children have is to have Jesus Christ in our life. That's the only way, you know. So, and if Jesus Christ isn't in their life, and they get shot and killed, then hell they'll go. And burn in a lake of fire as the time comes when judgment comes. And that's why we should always, regardless of what our age is, have Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. Because none of us is going to live forever. None of us. All have a short time in this life. Even if we live to be 90, it's a very short time. So it pays to give your life to Jesus Christ regardless of your age. Amen. Let us bow our heads and close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful for this special time you've given us even this evening to be gathered here. And the Lord, to let the Word of Word of God, search our hearts and our lives. And give us a time, Lord, we can push everything aside and come in a place, Lord, a house of worship, and a place, Lord, where we can come and hear the Word of God and search our own lives to see what condition we're in. And Father, I think so many times about the Scripture when the Apostle Paul said, this not wise to measure ourselves up by ourselves. Because, Lord, we oftentimes look at ourselves and think, oh, I'm all right. You know, I'm a Christian and I'm a good person. But what do we look like in the Word of God as the Word of God is put in front of us and we have something to measure by in the Word? But, Father, that's what Paul was talking about. Lord, it's not very wise to measure ourselves by ourselves. We measure ourselves by the Word of God to see what condition we're in, to see what needs we have in our life, to see what our shortcomings is in our life. And these opportunities we have, just like tonight, Father, we are able to measure ourselves up to see if there's short places. And then, Lord, we if we see a short place, then the grace of God is in our hearts, and we ask you to help us and help us to mend those places. Mend those places that would give opportunity for Satan to work. But Lord Jesus, help us now as we leave this little place, knowing we may be faced with something tomorrow, and maybe yet something tonight. But Lord, by your grace and mercy, help us to always receive victory and have victory in our lives. We thank you now, asking you to go with us, keep us safe, bring us back again one more time, Father, if you should tarry, that we may glorify you and to receive greater revelation of the Word of God. We ask it now through the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen. May God bless you, be with you, keep you safe.